when you've experienced something like living through a hurricane, it takes as long as it takes to heal. And one thing you have to remember, and you may have to encourage others around you, is that you need to be very gentle with yourself as you heal, because it's going to take as long as it takes.
Hi, this is Ike Evans of the Hawk Foundation for Mental Health. You are listening to Into the Fold. The Hawk Foundation is a strategic grant maker based at the University of Texas at Austin. To learn more, visit us at hog.utexas.edu, and hog is spelled H-O-G-G. So do you or does someone you know struggle during the holidays? We take it as a cliche that the holidays are a stressful time for a lot of people, and even depressing for some people. This year, there are many who are dealing with the added stress of Hurricane Harvey's aftermath. But the holidays also present an opportunity to start doing what we haven't been, or to do it more, or with greater purpose. So without underestimating how burdensome the holidays can be for a lot of folks, we ought to remember that we all have it in us to take our wellness in hand at any time of the year. Dr. Edna Brinkley is a licensed psychologist and a consultant on stress reduction, wellness, and multicultural competence in Austin, Texas. She trains in these areas locally, nationally, and internationally. She received her PhD in counseling psychology from the University of Texas at Austin. She received additional training in mind-body wellness from Harvard Medical School. She's here to share some tips on wellness and stress reduction for the holidays. Dr. Brinkley, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
So for those who are meeting you for the first time, maybe I gave you a pretty brief intro, but maybe you could tell us a little bit more about yourself and about what you consider to be like the main core of your practice as a therapist.
Okay. I think the main core of my practice is I work primarily with professional and executive women, helping them get unstuck, stop feeling numb, and stop feeling guilty when they try to take time out for themselves. And to me, I love to see that sparkle, that light in their eye when they finally feel very empowered that this is my life. You know, I can really create it the way I want to. A little bit more about me, because I really deal with stress and stress relief and stress reduction. I walk the talk. To me, it's very important to have stress relief for myself. And so one of my primary stress relievers here is I pump iron. I love to lift weights and do heavy weights. So I work out with a personal trainer twice a week. That to me is one of the ways I keep myself mentally, physically, and spiritually healthy.
Really? How long have you been at that?
Since about, this is 2017, I think for about, since about 2007.
Really?
So about 10 years. Wow. I hadn't realized it. Yeah. About 10 years.
What did it take to get you to start doing that?
What do you mean?
Anything in particular?
Oh,
I mean,
well, let's just say graduate school was not kind. I didn't really understand stress and the stress response as well back then. And so unfortunately I gained a lot of weight. I wasn't as healthy as I am now. And I wanted to stop catching a cold every season. And I wanted to be able to have just better cardiovascular, fitness. I wanted to be able to, you know, run up and down stairs and chase kids around, things like that. And so, I started working out with a trainer, and yes, it was hard at first because, hey, my body's not used to lifting weights, but I stuck with it, and off and on over the years, I've had to change trainers. They moved away, or they got pregnant, and they had to retire. I mean, at least take maternity leave. That's really what it was, and so I'm still doing it. It is, to me, it's just an integral part. It's just what I do. It's part of my routine.
Let's take it from the standpoint of someone who struggles during the holidays. Whether that's generally the case, mm-hmm. or let's just say that this year is a particular bear for somebody.
Yeah.
I mean, what are some coping strategies? What mm-hmm. can people do to support others who may be mm-hmm. who may be having a hard time this time of year?
Okay, so that's a two-part question right there. Okay, so let's take the first part. Well, I'm thinking there's so many things that you can do. The first one is, I call it, be in the moment. And for what that means is that wherever you are and whoever you're talking to, be very present. Now, some people, they call this mindfulness. And yes, that is what I'm talking about. And what it looks like is, when you're in the moment with someone, you're not thinking about going out to Nordstrom and going shopping. Okay. You're not thinking about your holiday list. You're not thinking about feeding your dog or washing your car. You are emotionally present with that person. So if you're able to stay in the moment, that means that you're able to not think about anything that's distressful for you about the holidays or about your life in general. The second one is, say no, mean it, and stick to it. Now, this is a big one, especially for my family, because they love to try and guilt trip me. But hey, I'm good. I can say no, mean it, and stick to it. And what that looks like is that you don't let your family members or your friends tell you what to do when you don't want to do it. For example, maybe they'll say, you have to buy a present for Uncle Bobby, but you can't stand Uncle Bobby, but they're pressuring you that you have to buy a present for him. Or maybe they say, well, you have to get together on Christmas Eve. And that means it's a plane ride and a rent-a-car for you, and you're tight on cash, so you can't really afford it. Or maybe like take it out of the home, maybe it's at work, maybe you don't want to go to a holiday party, an office party. Okay, holidays, they bring out the expectations of shoulds. And I'm going to say air quotes with that. But that really isn't reality. I mean, the reality is you. Yes, you. You get to decide what's important, and you get to stick to that. And if people are unable to respect that, you need to continue to say it. And that means that maybe you have to sometimes become a broken record. And the third thing I want to add is that it's okay to create your own traditions. And this is a big one that a lot of people have trouble with, because just because your family did something a certain way doesn't mean that you have to continue to do it. For example, maybe this year you don't want to have a fresh cut tree. Maybe an artificial one will do. Or maybe you want to celebrate Christmas and Kwanzaa. Okay, that's your new tradition. It's perfectly fine. Do that. Maybe you have kids now and you want to start celebrating the holidays at your home and not go to grandma's. And again, that's okay. Celebrate the holiday on the day and then go to grandma's another day. So those are three, but hey, I love to give you more. I want to give you more. So if you go to my website, it is brinkleycenter.com. On the left-hand side, there's a menu and it says holiday stress. If you click on that, there is a handout of 10 different coping strategies for holiday stress relief. And I want you to have that. Just scroll, after you click on it, just scroll down to the bottom of the page, and there it is. So.
Okay, and that is brinkleycenter.com, correct?
Yes.
All right. Thank you very much for that. And I encourage everybody to check out that resource. I want to go back to what you said, one thing you said a minute uh-huh. ago uh-huh. about families and their guilt trips.
Oh, yeah. That's a big one.
So I can't help but wonder how effective guilt tactics might have been with you in the past.
They haven't been, and they weren't. I don't know what it is about me, because as I grew up, I would say no. I was called a rebellious child. But to me, it wasn't rebellious. It was standing up for myself. It was, I don't want to do this. This is not that important to me. It's important to you. And if I choose to do it, I will be doing it for you and not for me. Sometimes it's, you can have a happy compromise, and that's fine. Be flexible. But there's some things that they really go against the grain, that for you to do them is really against your soul. And that's a very painful place to be. And that's where I don't want people to go, so that if a family member or a friend tries to guilt trip you, I don't want you to give up what's important to you to satisfy them.
Yeah. I mean, we just went through Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
I used the term went through.
Yeah. You suffered through
quite
it.
Quite deliberately. Well, not myself personally, but okay. I mean, and I don't know how similar this holiday season feels to past ones. Mm-hmm. It seems to me that on a purely subjective level, that a lot has happened since last November. And that's being reflected now in people's moods.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I mean, I keep coming across, you know, these pieces, these takes that, you know, if you're dreading encountering that one relative at the Thanksgiving table, and there are arguments on both sides, you know, be gracious, listen to that person, try to have a conversation with that person. Mm-hmm. And then there are other takes that tend to take more focus on your self-care and don't give more than you truly feel that you're capable of. And it seems you're really strongly emphasizing self-care part of that.
Yeah, I'm really big into self-care. And, you know, I want to share, this is something a little extra. It's a strategy that I use with my clients. I call it time travel.
Right.
And what it basically is you think into the future, like maybe 5-10 years down the road, what kind of relationship do you want to have with this person? And then you travel back in time to right now in the present when you're with that person. And that's how you interact with them, because you know in the future whether you want to have a relationship with them. And so you choose your words. You choose how you interact with them based on that. If you, in the future, you decide, I don't want to, then when you come back again, that tells you how you want to interact with them. So either way, you're making a choice as to whether I want this person in my life or I don't. Because you always have the ability to invite someone in or to push them away. Bottom line, it is your life. You get to choose. You get to decide. And I want everyone to recognize and accept that. Because unfortunately, so many people think, I just have to do it. You know, I have to do this to keep the family together. You know, if I don't do this, then Uncle Bobby or Aunt Susie, they'll be angry. Or they'll be upset with me. They may be, but you are not responsible for how they react.
All right.
The second part of the question that I didn't get to answer. Sorry. And it was about what people can do to support others that could be struggling at this time. Do you want me to share a little bit about
Absolutely.
That? Okay. There's so many things that a person can do, but I want to keep it kind of short and sweet. For example, maybe a friend of yours is suffering, they're dealing with depression or anxiety, and so they may not be as receptive to attending like a big holiday bash, because maybe you're having one at your home and you invite them. So instead of inviting them to this big party at your home, invite them out to maybe lunch or to dinner. And, or maybe, you know, walk around the mall, because what you're doing, you're helping them get out, get more engaged, get some exercise, because that's always big for anxiety and depression relief. And you let them know that they have someone that loves them and cares about them. Another one is, if you know that this is the anniversary of a difficult time for someone, maybe they're grieving the loss of a loved one or a pet, maybe a job or a divorce, get together with them. Take some time out. Make it special. And this is not just for this time. Reach out on a regular basis to this person. And one more thing. If there's someone that you know that's having a difficult time, invite them to talk. And I mean, just talk. Allow them to tell you their hopes, their fears, their dreams, what's really bothering them. And you are sitting there as an empathetic, active listener. You are being there for them. And that is one of the greatest gifts that you can give a person, to just be there and allow them to be also.
Right now, there are many Texans who are coping with the aftermath of Hurricane Harvey. So one thing I wonder is, what your experience has been helping people cope with traumatic events like that. And how can the holidays be both a help and a hindrance to healing?
Yeah, I hear you. That is so sad to hear. And I understand, I hate to say this, but I understand exactly what they're going through, because a few years ago, my home was struck by lightning and it burned down right before my eyes. So when I work with someone who's experienced like the trauma of having to go through a hurricane, it is both personal and professional. So, and there's several things that I believe it's really important to do to help someone. And so I just want to share with you a few things that I do. One, the first thing really is help them try and regain a sense of control. I mean, when a hurricane hits, hey, you can't stop it. I mean, basically, you got to get out of its way. So what you have to do is deal with the aftermath. And what that means is to regain that sense of control, that stability, you rebuild your home, you reach out to friends and family. So I'm working with someone to help them recognize the strengths, the resources that they have, so they can begin to rebuild their life. Establishing a regular routine, all of these things help recreate stability for themselves. Another thing is I want them to be more aware of possible symptoms, because what they've experienced, it's called primary trauma. And there's a lot of symptoms associated with that. For example, they feel anxious. They worry a lot. And they're worrying because they think it could happen again. They feel angry at the world, at themselves, and sometimes for something nameless. They have trouble sleeping. I mean, maybe they even have nightmares. Maybe their mind won't shut up. I mean, they're constantly thinking about what's happened. And they may even have some frightening thoughts, like what I mentioned before, thinking, this is going to happen to me again. Another hurricane's going to hit. Okay. They may feel jumpy, and they may be really easily startled. You know, you walk into a room and then they jump. They also might start to isolate themselves. They turn you down when you say, hey, let's grab a movie, grab a coffee. They say, no, I just want to stay at home. And this is really when you need to go out there and say, hey, I care about you. I love you. Let's go grab a coffee. Okay. And one of the last things I want to share is that I help them realize that it's going to take time to heal. Some people think that, 3 months, 6 months, get over it. That's not the way trauma works. When you've experienced something like living through a hurricane, it takes as long as it takes to heal. And one thing you have to remember, and you may have to encourage others around you, is that you need to be very gentle with yourself as you heal, because it's going to take as long as it takes.
Okay. All right. Dr. Edna Brinkley. And once again, it is brinkleycenter.com. Go there, check out all of her tips on managing stress during the holidays and any other useful information that you might find. We really appreciate you taking the time to drop some wisdom on us. It's straightforward, and yet at the same time, people find all kinds of ways of not doing all of the things that you just suggested. And so it always helps to have a reminder. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. I enjoyed it.